You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 27. Hi, my beautiful creators. How are you doing? I am Steel Maggie, and today you are listening to Mind Made Wrong with my gorgeous, beautiful, amazing, motherfucking amazing friend, Miss Adriana Inez from the band Girl Hazel. And she is here to tell you all about herself, all about how the moment when she felt her mind was made wrong. Maybe several moments, because we've talked about this earlier, but she's going to tell you how she went through it and how she has gotten to this point in her career and in her personal life, in her soul. Okay, so how about you introduce yourself, Miss Adriana?
Hi, yes, I'm Adriana, again, from Girl Hazel. I'm a musician and visual artist based out of LA. I direct, I do photography, I do any skill you could possibly
all manner
want, just because I like to do everything and plan on doing that for the rest of my life. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm very
excited to talk about all of this. And I almost forgot, if you want to find me online, you can find me at Girl Hazel Band on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook too, if that's still a thing. And yeah.
What about YouTube, Spotify? Are you on
so
the said channels?
We do have a YouTube currently. We've got a couple live videos on there. That's also Girl Hazel or Girl Hazel Band.
Live.
Yeah, we have live sessions. We don't have any recorded music out because it's coming out extremely soon. And that will be on Spotify and Apple Music, all the streaming services that you know and love.
Like 2020 soon?
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay.
No, actually, like 2019 soon. Like before end of the year.
Oh, good. Good. Okay.
Very, very soon. I'm headed into the studio after this, actually, to wrap up one of them. Yeah, so it's coming. And just following us online is the best way to stay in touch and see when those not live recordings come. But my band is incredible, so we sound okay live.
Oh my goodness. Have you heard Michelle? Have you heard Burnt Sugar? Bitch.
They definitely haven't heard the second one, but Michelle is on the YouTube.
You've said Michelle. You've said Michelle prior.
No, Michelle's...
You performed.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard Michelle. I feel like I've heard Michelle.
Michelle's, it's on our YouTube.
Okay, good. Okay.
Michelle's on our YouTube.
Let's talk about you, Miss Adriana. Let's talk about your ascent to music. How did you get into this business? How did you say, hey, I'm going to be a musician. And I have this band, Girl Hazel, and I'm going to be a full-time musician. Please talk about that.
Okay. So, you know, it's a bit of a long story, of course. I'm sure everyone's story with this is always long and winding. But I think as a kid, I was always drawn to music. Nothing really happened with it, though, until I got like a guitar as like a middle school graduation. I got a guitar as a gift for my eighth grade graduation or whatever they call it. And I just started learning and writing kind of instrumental songs. And I knew I liked music, but I didn't really understand how much I liked it until I went to my first concert, which was Paramore, a very iconic band for anyone that was growing up when I grew up. And still a very iconic band for
2000s,
everyone. Yeah. A very iconic band for everyone. And I just remember I was having a terrible day. This was my first concert that I'd ever been to. I had like a headache. I was tired and just in a bad mood. And then they started playing and I don't think I'd ever felt that good. And I just immediately knew that this is what I want to do. This is what I want to feel like all the time. And that has never really shaken for me. I've never questioned it. I've been through a very rocky journey to get to my low level of success that I'm currently at,
as we will discuss.
Yeah. But I went on from that. I started playing with local musicians, just, you know, that I went to school with, and, you know, just continuing to improve as a songwriter and playing with new musicians all the time. And it's just kind of been like a journey. And as I went along with my musical exploration, I started booking shows because I didn't know how to get them. So when I heard that a local venue was looking for interns to book shows, I went, okay, I'm going to figure out how to book shows.
Let's learn.
Yeah, if I know how to book shows, then I know how to get booked for them, right? That was my logic. And so I kind of got drawn into the industry side of things too. And I had a pretty lengthy career doing a million different jobs in the industry, from festivals to, you know, record label stuff, until I quit my job last month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get into it a little more, but my musical career has always been marked by a bit of a balance between the industry side of things, where I felt like I excelled for a really long time, and then having to reassess my priorities and shift from being this industry person into just being the musician, which is the side of me that I always felt was stronger, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you feel like torn between, because I know you spent a lot of time in the industry position, you know, and did you feel torn between those two during that time? Or what happened in between those points where you just said, I've got to fucking do this. I can't be industry anymore. I have to be the musician.
I mean, you know, absolutely I was torn. There was so many jobs that I had that I loved. And for a long time, it was very fulfilling for me to go and book shows and just be surrounded by the bands that I loved. Instead of playing the shows with them, I was fine to just book them and go, oh, I created an amazing night of music. Or, you know, I think the biggest shift came when I started working on a record label, because I was working with all of these artists that were doing things on this high level that I wanted to be on. And I was constantly getting inspired by all of the incredible artists that I was working with. And it kind of raised to my attention that I could do that, that they had all kind of been in positions like me. And at some point they had to make a choice.
What you were booking for, you could do.
Yeah. I could just be on the other side of it. And that was what I wanted to be on. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that I wasn't on the other side of it was that I was putting so much time and energy into this industry career, which, while I loved, was ultimately a distraction and did not make me as happy as, you know, just playing music and being a musician and pursuing my own art. I realized that I was creating art at a glacial pace because so much of my time was devoted to, you know, just doing a job, just having an industry job, because you can't really work in the music industry doing small hours. If you want to be successful in it, you have, you know, the office, you were in there 9 to 6, and after the office, you were out at shows, which is an important part of any musician's education. But when you're out at a job all day, and then, you know, 3 to 5 days a week after work, you're at a show, not working on your own stuff, that really, really takes a toll on your creative energy and how much time you're able to put into your projects.
Exactly. I want to talk about how your creativity suffered, and how, not just your creativity, but I want to talk about how your mental health really, I feel like, because you and I, we graduated from Cal Poly Pomona. Was this the same year, or was it?
Yeah, we graduated together.
We graduated the same year. Yeah. Okay. I was about to say, I'm like, don't know. Don't want to assume. But we graduated the same year, and we graduated as Bachelors of Arts of Music.
An extremely useful degree.
An extremely useful degree from Cal Poly Pomona, with Love that school. Fucking love that school. Y'all slay. But we graduated with an option, music, with an option of music industry. And I always felt, because I was getting a degree in, I was getting this option of music industry, I should go towards that option. If I was trying to do Steel Maggie, right? If I was really trying to do Steel Maggie, and if I was trying to be the best that I could motherfucking be, I would be in performance, right? But it's not what happened, you know? And I just really feel like I want to ask you,
okay,
what, you know, did you feel a tear between what you had spent so much time to achieve and what you had, and your mindset toward that? I want to know, like, what real, how did you, I don't want to ask, how did you suffer?
I could talk about that.
I want to hear the issues that really went on internally, you know, up here.
So I think the biggest thing for me was that I'd never worked a conventional 9-to-5.
Right.
Kind of, or in this case, 9-to-6 job. I'd never worked something where you spent so many hours every single day. And I'd never worked something where the routine was so similar from day to day. That was right. All very new to me. And so it was a huge transition for me to go from being able to make as much time as I wanted for my art to just, you know, having the set schedule and set times for creativity, which put a lot of pressure on me. And, you know, for some people that works great. And, you know, there's absolutely no wrong way to create art. So if that works for you, by all means, go ahead and set, you know, those specified times for you. But for me, right. It just didn't work. And over the course of the year, I was just getting so tired.
2019.
Yeah. Over the course of the year that I was working at this label, I would just get so tired, and I would come home and I'd want to create art, but I would feel like I couldn't.
Fatigued.
Yeah, I was fatigued. And the decision to leave really came from just the universe throwing an extremely unfortunate year my way. I had family losses. I had my childhood pets. I had, you know, kids that I grew up with, kids that I went to school with. I lost a lot of people this last year. And that really forced me to put things into perspective and to reevaluate my priorities and really just have to prioritize my happiness, because I felt like, and I'm coming around onto a more reasonable view of life and death, but I really
2020.
Yeah, that's 2020. But I came around to, I just had to start thinking about these things. And for the longest time, I really felt like all these people were dying around me all the time, and that I could die anytime. And you don't have any control over when that's going to happen. And I just felt like I have to get on the right path. You know, I don't have any control over when I get to achieve my goals, but I have to be actively working towards meeting my goals, because if I die right now, I won't feel like I'm on the path. Like, I won't feel like I was really trying to be happy or succeed in the things that I wanted to do. And I just felt like I need to get onto this path and start creating more art, because that's the way that I want to live my life. And I was very fortunate that I had saved a lot of money and I was able to just quit and go full-time for music, even though I'm not fully making up all my expenses yet. I'm living off of savings, and I'm very fortunate to be able to do that, because LA is brutally expensive. It's nearly impossible to save, and I'm extremely, extremely lucky that I'm in a position where I can just make art for a while, and hopefully it works out, but I feel so good about it.
Sweetheart, it's coming in this actually next month. I have a lot of work for y'all. So that's kind of like a little declaration right now. But
you heard
that
her.
Is you have heard me. It is a commitment. No, and it was a commitment like last week when we had this little tiny cute little meeting. But I want to start talking about what it was like when you had no idea how your life would turn out. So let's rewind. I want to start talking about how you felt, you know, with the theme of this podcast. I want to know how you felt your mind was made wrong when you were, you know, in that space where you had no idea how the fuck your life was going to turn out now. Like, I know it's scary now, but you have a heart right now. You have a soul. You are so, like, focused into what you want to do. And that's what I want y'all, right? I want y'all to be as fucking into it as this woman. But
I feel very off guard, like, getting pointed at as an example of anything.
It will happen maybe a couple more times in this episode.
You guys caught me at a weird time where I'm all about the art, and it took a long time to get here. I've tried focusing on art before, and I just didn't have it in me before. I didn't have the discipline. I didn't have the emotional energy to just go for it, or I guess the lack of, like, not self-control. The word I'm looking for is more like direction. Self-preservation. Yeah. I now lack that sense. I lack that instinct to preserve myself and do the safe thing. And that's worked out great for making art. I've just been completely demolished by the year.
I feel like you and I are actually kind of in a very similar position right now. I still have a cushion job. I am so wonderfully privileged to be employed by a studio that I teach at, voice and piano, and I also teach at this wonderful abode in my own studio. But that is not what I, you guys know I'm fucking Steel Maggie. Like, I am looking towards a different mode of living in the future. But with you, I almost got upset because I was like, you caught me at a weird moment. I'm like, excuse me, that's not a weird moment. That is a real moment, because you are really walking into your magic as a person. You're really walking into your creativity, you know, and your let's get it the fuck done, but let's do some actual, I don't know, let's live some actual life while doing it, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that is so inspiring. And I know I've already told you this, like, she and I had a big conversation last week, but I felt like we just really, I needed to capture it with you. And I've been thinking about it. I've genuinely been thinking about it all week. And I need you to share with everyone how you got from your really hard moments, you know, when you were a teenager, and to your, you, as you say, quote unquote, low level of success, but I don't feel like that's going to be very long after, because it's going to be bigger, but how you got to this point where you feel like you are actually literally stepping into your creativity, and you are stepping into your creating beautiful things, as we talk about on this podcast. Let's talk about how you felt your mind was made wrong in the past, and how you moved forward from that, and how you got to today.
Well, I'm on this podcast pretty much because, you know, mental health has always been such an issue for me, really. It's something that I'm still getting a handle on. But basically, I've been depressed for maybe half of my life now, right. I want to say. It took a long time just to realize what was going on with me, because I never really understood what depression actually looked like. I mean, like, a lot of people say this, but you see, like, the commercials with the gray stuff and the sadness, and I never identified with that. It never felt like that. It didn't feel like it looked like that.
That little, like, that face that they put up when they're, like, frowning on the other side, but then they're like, they have that, like, smiley face, and it's like, that is not it.
Yeah, it just didn't seem right. So it took me a long time to realize that I was depressed. And especially because I'm a very social person. When I'm around people, I can tend to shove that, you know, internal struggle back, and you know, it's not shown as well in social settings. So it was really hard for my friends and family to identify that this was going on with me at all. It really had to come from me, you know, recognizing it in myself and then having to go and find appropriate help. And I just remember a couple of years ago, I decided I needed help. I couldn't ignore anymore that, you know, most days I just kind of felt like I couldn't do anything but lay in bed held down by incredible, immense weights. And so I finally talked to my parents about it. And, you know, they're incredibly, incredibly supportive people, but they aren't the most experienced when it comes to mental health. And so I remember having this moment where I had explained to my dad that I didn't feel good, that I was depressed. And he, you know, he was trying to wrap his head around it and go, well, what happened? What went wrong to make you feel bad? Like, mm-hmm. are there any bad things going on in your life right now? He, you know, he was trying to look for an immediate explanation for, you know, did someone, yeah. like, did someone break your heart? Did someone do this to you? Or are you getting bullied? Like, well, something like that. And I couldn't give any explanation to him. I had to confront in that moment that it's just how I feel. It's coming from me. It's not coming from any external factors. You know, when you're depressed, a lot of the times you can feel like, well, I'll feel better when this thing happens. Like all these little points of pain, you can look at them and go, well, if I can fix that, I'll be happy. If I can fix this thing, I'll be happy. And unless you confront that, you know, I understand depression's different for everyone, but for me, it goes beyond just the things happening in my life. If you were to remove all stress factors, I would still have to do some work on myself to just be happy. And in that moment, I had to admit, you know, it's not any of the things going on in my life that are making me feel this way. It's just my mind is making me feel this way. And in that moment, I just felt like, you know, the expression my mind made wrong. I just felt like something is wrong with my mind that is causing me all this pain. And it doesn't have anything to do with any of the events in my life.
Right. Okay. How did you get through? What was the, there, sometimes there's a pivotal point, sometimes there's not. And that's what I feel like people really need to realize is that sometimes there's not going to be a, you know, there's not going to be a sign from God, you know, there's not going to be a sign.
So it's been really a extremely up and down journey of just constant improvement. I don't think there's ever been any specific moment where I had some big breakthrough and gone, okay, I'm doing better now. there have been moments where I thought I was doing better now and then immediately followed by some dramatic crash. But you know, progress is not linear. I think it's just been a journey of, you know, learning to reach out for help. When we went to Cal Poly Pomona, which, you know, is a wonderful school, they offer free counseling to their students. And I thought about it for a long time before I finally just went in and got an appointment. And I just went, you know, this help is available to me. It's literally free. I literally just have to go and ask for it. And I finally went in and I started counseling there. And I was about to graduate, so I didn't really have that much time getting help, but they kind of helped to treat me for anxiety. And I still fall back on some of the techniques and methods that they taught me to proceed and deal with my anxiety. And just learning that you can go and get professional help from, you know, professionals, people that work with people like you all the time and really just want to see you succeed and want you to, you know, kind of help help you develop processes and better ways to deal with the way that your mind is. And
realize it's not made wrong.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are spinning it out of proportion, right? To make it feel that way, you know, and we have to really actually do the work to make it feel right. You know, it's really on us. I want to talk about your most significant struggle today when it comes to your mental health and when it comes to working in your career and when it comes to being a freelancer, which is bananas to me. I'm moving into that space and it's absolutely bananas.
It's, for me, I'd say the biggest struggle right now is just figuring out where to draw the line in how much work you can pour into something before you need to take care of yourself, before you're too physically exhausted to do, you know, whatever you need to do. When you're working in music, you're always kind of fed this this mindset of, well, I have to work as hard as I possibly can at every single moment that I am physically able to work. And you're supposed to work yourself into exhaustion, because if you don't, then you won't make it, whatever that's supposed to mean these days. The idea is that you can't be successful at all unless you are pouring every single second of existence into your career.
Existence.
Which is a huge myth, because you're going to really, really mess yourself up doing that, even if you feel good about it sometimes. So for me, it's just been learning to draw the line between working too much or giving myself too much slack, because after a certain amount of, you know, giving yourself time off and giving yourself time to relax, you can feel guilty for not making art, and that can spin out into a whole other issue. But you just need to know when you're physically exhausted. For example, a couple months ago, we were tracking and I was having, you know, such a hard week. I was preparing to leave my job. I think at that point I had already quit, but I was still going to work. I had just put in my notice and I was still going to work. But after work, I would head to the studio to record, you know, late at night, really. And I would already be tired from working a full day. I was emotionally exhausted because, you know, I had had all these losses, and we were recording the same week that I had attended a funeral. And for some reason, I thought I could do it, that I would be able to emotionally and physically handle being, you know, driving back home to San Diego to deal with these personal events. And I thought I'd be able to handle all of this whiplash commuting and going to work and just going and recording, because that's also work too. It's a lot of work. It's fun and it's rewarding, but it's a lot of work. And I was trying to track vocals, which is always pretty much always difficult, especially
It's the most emotionally
Your body,
taxing part.
Your body is an instrument, and your body is very, very it's 100% connected to your mind and the way that you're feeling. And so I just was trying to track these vocals, and everyone around me could tell that I was just getting caught up in something and that it was just getting worse. We had hit a turning point where I was freaking out about it and was not willing to admit that to anybody else. And then I finally, bandmate Sonia Moral ended up just saying, like, hey, do you want to not track tonight? You can take the night off. We can pick this up another time. There's more studio time. We're very, very lucky in that several of our members work at studios and we're able to get, you know, free use of a studio. So it's not like I was under any pressure to get my money's worth or get it done or anything like that. There was nothing on the line. It was just, I had to be willing to let myself take that break. And they said, you can take that break. And it finally took just hearing someone saying, you're allowed to take time for yourself, for me to go and just give myself the little bit of breathing space that I needed to emotionally recenter and get things done.